Hello and welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we got another really packed show to get to today. We're going to start with, you know, continuing to cover the FIBA World Cup and Jaren Jackson Jr.'s play over there as we're starting to reach the semifinals. And we finally got the full Ja off-season workout video that just came out. Shout out to Shot by Nye on Instagram, Twitter. He posted it on Ja Morant's YouTube the other night. So we'll have the video for you. We can talk about it and kind of see like what he's been doing in the offseason. I feel like he's kind of been out of the spotlight for most of the offseason, which is a good thing. But I think it was a good way for him to kind of showcase what he's been working on a little bit while also, you know, not really going too far out there and still kind of taking a step back and, you know, continue to work in the dark because that's really what he needs to be doing right now. But yeah, so we're going to get to the FIBA World Cup first because there's been a lot of stuff that's happened since the last time we talked. First of all, Team USA actually lost a game versus Lithuania, which the reaction after that game, which I might have been a little bit warranted. I know that Team USA usually doesn't lose, but it really just felt like it felt like people thought that they were like out of the tournament because they lost that game, which in reality, if they had to lose a game, it was at the right time for that to happen just because the games weren't single elimination yet. And you could argue about whether or not it actually gave them an easier draw once they got to the quarterfinals, not to say that they, you know, lost a game on purpose or anything like that, but you could say it gave them an easier draw. So I think all in all, it still is going to be fine for Team USA, but, you know, now they're going to be going into the semifinals after their win against Italy. And we'll start with the Lithuania game because to me, it looked more of anything like it was just their day. They came out, started 9 for 9 from three, and Team USA has had a lot of slow starts really this entire tournament. And I feel like it was, you know, their really slow start. Jaren got into foul trouble again very early and came out of the game. And then it just felt like there's a lot of one-on-one basketball and stuff like that. You know, some of the stuff that we've seen the entire tournament, so it wasn't anything super new for Team USA, but I feel like it was just compounded with, on the other side, Lithuania was making everything, started 9 for 9 from three, and they got down by like 20 points. And obviously, when you get down by like 20 points, it can really be hard to overcome that deficit, which Team USA eventually did. They ended up losing by 6, but they came back and made it a game, which just shows you that after that insane first half that Lithuania had, Team USA actually did win like the second half of the game. Probably really after the first quarter, they won the rest of the game. But you just can't get off to such a bad start because, like I said, when you get down by 20 points, it's really hard to even make it a game because you got to fight so hard just to get the game back to tied. It's almost like you might run out of energy just trying to make the comeback to where even if you do make it, like, you're so out of energy and time is running out. Like, time is against you, all of that. So that's really just what it felt like. It felt like if they had more time, they possibly could have had a chance to win that game. But Lithuania made all the shots early, and then they made a lot of timely shots, a lot of timely three-pointers. So shout out to the Lithuanian team just overall. I thought they did pretty good. They did end up getting knocked out in the quarterfinals, though. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, congratulations to Lithuania for getting that win. But I think Team USA would take the trade-off they've got so far. But yeah, so if you just – we'll start with Lithuania. You can go on whatever you thought about that.
Yeah. First, I didn't watch the game live. I had to rewatch it. So, like, I woke up because, like I said, love Team USA. But I got to get my sleep. I'll rewatch it. I can record it, and I'll do that. That's first off. So – I woke up and I saw they lost. So that's the first thing I looked at. So I woke up, checked my phone, and I see they lost. And I'm like, okay. Like, how much they lose? First, I was trying to look at how much they lost by. Then I went to Twitter, like you said, with the reactions. And I was just looking. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because a lot of people were reacting, like, in a way where I was like, it just seemed very critical. And not to say they don't need to be critical of Team USA. You know, because, again, they had some flaws that could, you know, end up be the reason they lose. But I was like, let me watch this game. And when I watched the game, and compared it to what was said on timeline, it really wasn't anything crazy. Mainly to what you were saying, I think they just need to get out to a better start. When you get down, I think they got down like 12 to like 29 at one point, or like 12 to 30 at one point. Like, you just can't, like you're just playing from behind. And like you said, they got within like single digits, like in the second half, like they started to turn it around. But like you said, Lithuania was on fire already. Like, they hit timely shot after timely shot. I mean, like, even Ant said at the, I think, post-game presser, like, the dude who hit the shot on him, where I think he had like 3 or 4 seconds left, he basically shot off like one leg and made it, like, late in the fourth, to put him back up by like 8 or 10. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those type of shots are just like you said, it's just their day at that point. And I know people, you know, pointed to the rebounding, and they, you know, should have been better on the glass, because I think the last two games before the Italy game, I think they were rebounded. So, you know, I do think they got to be better on the glass. But I just think part of it is just getting out to a better start, you know, like offensively. Because, again, they're not really, again, like we've talked about on here before, they're better in transition than they are in the half court. And I felt like when I was watching the game, they got a lot stacked. They got too stagnant in the half court, which kind of, you know, which contributed to that slow start. And so they were just basically playing from behind the whole time. But obviously, you know, I think the bench really brought them back, obviously, in that second half. But again, it just wasn't enough. So, I mean, you know, and it's not really anything too crazy, but I just really think it's a better start. You know, again, I've always said they're going to beat themselves, if anything. I don't think if any team's going to beat them, it's going to be like that. They're just shooting lights out. They're doing everything right. Like, it's got to be stuff like that. So, you know, I just felt like it was one of those games that it just happened. But again, it's better for that to happen then than to happen now, where it's like, you know, an NCAA tournament type of style game where you lose now and you're out. So, you know, I'd much rather them lose then, and especially as the last game. Like, it'd be different. They lost like 2 or 3 games. But if you go look at their rest of the games compared to this one, like, it's not nothing to really overreact about. Like, it wasn't, especially what's happened with the game we're going to be talking about in Italy. Like, come on. Like, I'm not going to overreact to none of that. So, it is as they lost, you know, it wasn't their day. And then, hey, it happens. You move on to the next. And especially when you basically still qualified for the Olympics and stuff, even in spite of that loss, because of somebody else winning. So it's like, there was nothing to take from that game other than to be better and, you know, just realize you got to lock in a little stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And then talking about the next game after that, it was, they played Italy, and honestly, that game, it felt like it was kind of the opposite. They got out to a really good start, and I feel like that was something that I know that Coach Steve Kerr had to really kind of hinder on, just because, I mean, it felt like they just came out with a lot of energy to start the game, and they put the game away in, really, it felt like the first quarter, because I think they were up by like 15, 20 in the first quarter, and then they just continued to pile on, ended up winning by almost 40 points. The only thing that I will say, because I know we talked about in the Lithuania game, one of the issues was rebounding. They didn't have as many struggles with rebounding overall, but, you know, Jaren still hasn't really had an impact on the boards, which is something that he's struggled with his entire career. So I don't think that's like a surprise, but he's also playing out of position. Like we said, he's not really a true center. So it's something that he's not really used to. So I think that just has been something that's been a continuing issue for the team and for Jaren on this stage, along with the fouls. But I still think the fouls were the main issue, just because even in that Italy game where they won by 40, he got 2 fouls really early on and kind of took himself out of the game. Now, luckily, the team didn't really need him in that game. They clearly had more talent, and the scoreboard showed that. But it's one of those things where we looked at a game like Lithuania where they did need him and he wasn't able to play big minutes. And a lot of people talked about the fact that he didn't have any rebounds in that game, which was a really big issue because Lithuania was killing the glass and everything like that. And it's really hard to get rebounds on the bench. That's what we were talking about before we started this. Like, you can't get rebounds on the bench. So I still think the fouls are the main problem, the rebounding like a secondary issue. But I think that that's really just what he needs to focus on. He's not going to be like an offensive kind of threat, it seems like, as much, just because they're not really looking for him as much as they were the first few games, I feel like. But I also feel like that's also partly on him because, like I said, it's hard to get in a rhythm and get in a rhythm with your teammates when it gets to that. So for Jaren, I think it's just the same kind of stuff. But I will say in the Italy game, I think it was Mikal Bridges, Tyrese Haliburton, both really kind of took it over. And Tyrese Haliburton, really this entire FIBA World Cup run, has been probably one of my favorite players to watch, just because it seems like there's a highlight every time he's on the court, whether he's getting the steal and starting the fast break, or in this past game where he's throwing alley-oops under his leg to Paolo Banchero and stuff like that. So I just thought that the way that he played really brought the energy, and I think he's been awesome just this entire run. And then it was good to see Mikal get going too. He was hitting his celebration, got a technical foul, looking at the bench and everything. Disrespectful Team USA a little bit, but in the funny part, in the funny way, not completely disrespectful, obviously. But like, I like the trash talk. I like a lot of that. I feel like they kind of got a little bit of their swagger back in that game, and I think that's something they got to take for the rest of the tournament too.
Yeah, to start with, Jaren, I know, again, the last two games have kind of been under a microscope because I think that's the last two, you know, they're kind of getting closer to play and, you know, like in group play and all that other stuff. Like, the games are meaning more. So it's like, you know, obviously with Jaren, as, again, I said it on Twitter. Some people were talking about me saying it. I've said it, if anybody, you know, people can agree to disagree. But I say he's one of the more polarizing players in the league, in the sense of either people love him or hate him. Like, there's no real in-between with Jaren. There's a lot of either, you know, you'll be a fan like the Grizzly fans are and you love him, or a lot of people think he's, like, an overrated player. Because, like, when Jaren did have that bad game, like, I remember a tweet went up about his stats, and then it just kind of went crazy. And then you had somebody, I forgot who it was, another article, somebody's a writer, talking about he's only had, like, one or two rebounds in the last, like, six quarters for Team USA, and it kind of went crazy. And, again, to some extent, that is true. You know, stuff needs to be better, but I think there was a lot of nuance and context to any of it, in the sense of that, of like him playing out of position, like you said. And that's not making me make an excuse. It's just simply saying why these things are happening the way they are. You know, again, for him to play the position that he's in, like I've always said it, to a certain extent, if you're going to play him at the five, a lot of it's like you got to make sure you gang rebound a lot better, because if you want him to be his best with just blocking shots and you know, protecting the rim, he's going to attempt to contest every shot. So that's going to leave somebody else open if they're not properly boxing out. And that's kind of where I feel like a lot of the issues come from, is, you know, people not gang rebound and stuff. Because it's not like, even though he needs to be better on the boards, it's a team thing. Like, it's not like he's going to grab 20 rebounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just not him. Even if he improves his rebounding input, it's not going to be 20 rebounds. So the team in general has to be better in that. But in terms of the fouls, he's just got to be better. A lot of it's just silly stuff. And I would say silly, but like a lot of it's just stuff that he got to take himself out of situations. Like you said, you can't rebound while you're on the bench. Like, you just can't do none of this while you're on the bench. So he's got to be better. And I just say it's like getting out of his own head, because the game, like literally the game, two, three games prior, he didn't have foul issues. It's just these two. And now since the games are meaning more, it's under a microscope, so people are going to talk about it more. And that's the thing which is so funny about it, is because, like, again, not to take away or say that, like, he wasn't as bad, but like in the Italy game, so, like, Jaren had 2 points and played 10 minutes, but I'm looking around the box score, another starter like Anthony Edwards only had like 3 points and they still won by like 40. You know what I mean? But nobody really talks about it. It's more so talking about Jaren. So, and again, I guess because Ant had a better game last time, which I understand. But like I say that to say, like, you know, it happens. Like, it's part of it. You know, he's got to get out of his own head. In terms of that, but I mean, I think he will, you know what I mean? I think they'll adjust. I think some of it's also coaching too. I think Kerr has to be better in terms of his adjustments, in terms of he's got to play two bigs together. I think that's always the best thing. You got to start playing Jaren with like a Kessler or a Portis or even Apollo. Like, he can play with any of those bigs. I think that would kind of give them a better chance in the rebounding efforts, and not only rebounding, but just keeping Jaren on the floor. So yeah, I think those are the big things. But I mean, like you said, the game, it didn't really matter. But again, it's going to matter, especially who they're going to play now, or potentially play in these last few opponents. He's got to stay on the floor. So, you know, and hopefully it doesn't matter to the point, but you would just want Jaren to be on the floor anyway. He's literally one of the, at worst, third, fourth best player. Like, when he plays well, they're going to not lose at all. So you would much rather him want to play well than play bad. So, but I mean, again, like, the team has been playing well in spite of that. Because, I mean, again, Ingram had some struggles beforehand, and they still play good in spite of that, too. So, like you said, Tyrese Haliburton and Mikal Bridges have really been the standout guys, in my opinion, like, the last two games. I mean, obviously, Tyrese the whole tournament. So, you know, again, they got guys picking up. That's why they made this team. Like, they have depth. Like, they're going to be fine. Like, if one person's having a bad game, it's next man up mentality. Like, it's just – it's one of those things. But a lot of people can't replace what Jaren does on the court defensively, so that's why you do need him on the floor. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just glad it's this game, and hopefully the next two games that they have, he balls out. You know what I mean? Because, again, when he plays well – we've seen it. When he plays well on this team, like, they're damn near unbeatable. Like, it's just – that's just how it is. So, yeah, I think he'll be fine. Again, it's just the ebbs and flows of this thing, especially when you're playing a new position and – not necessarily a new position, but a position you're not usually playing a lot consistently. It just takes some time. You know, you're going to have your ups and downs. So, I just think it's just part of the process. So, but, yeah, I mean, they'll be fine and he'll be fine.
Yeah, and then, like you said, we are moving on into the FIBA semifinals going forward. The four teams that are left is Team USA, Germany, Serbia, and Canada. All of them have had, like, some really interesting games throughout the tournament. The one that I did want to talk a little bit about before we get into this FIBA semifinal stuff and kind of give it a little bit of a preview is that Canada versus Slovenia game, just because, you know, Luka versus SGA. And then, you know, SGA ended up with 30 points and actually getting the best of Luka in that game. But Luka also got ejected for, you know, basically yelling at the officials, kind of what he does in the NBA too. So not very surprised by that, especially because the FIBA rules, they usually allow for a little bit more contact. And I think FIBA refs are more likely to give you the old, you've been yelling at me the whole game, I'm just going to stare you down, even if you did get fouled. And I feel like FIBA refs are more likely to do that. And I think that's really kind of what it got to. But even I feel like the foul that he got mad on and ended up getting him ejected, I didn't think it was a foul. There were some others that were probably more questionable, but it felt like that one was kind of just a straw that broke the camel's back, whatever. He's been dealing with it the whole game, and he just, you know, got angry at the ref and got ejected. Dylan Brooks also got ejected from the game. Something Grizzlies fans are used to seeing. He got ejected from the game after he made a three. He was talking trash to one of the other players. But I think it was a really good game for Dylan. It was a really good game for Canada. Canada is going to be playing Serbia coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually comes out of that game. Serbia has been really good with Bogdan Bogdanovic. Nikola Jovic has been really good for them. Grizzlies legend Marko Guduric, of course, also on Team Serbia. But they've played pretty well. Probably don't have the same star power in terms of NBA names that Canada has, but just has been an overall really solid team the entire tournament. So that's going to be an awesome game. And then Team USA is going to have their rematch with Germany, who they did beat in their exhibition game, but it took a big comeback for them to win that game. So they got both the Wagner twins and Franz and Mo Wagner, along with Dennis Schroeder's been playing awesome until this last game where he was 4 for 26. But he had been playing really awesome before that game. Some other guys like Daniel Theis that you will probably heard of if you're an NBA person. But, yeah, they've got a solid roster as well. So that's going to be a big test for Team USA. But number one thing that I'll say for Team USA going into the semifinals is start strong. For Jaren, he has to stay out of foul trouble, focus on rebounding, and just defend. Like, if as long as they defend and they can get out in transition, force turnovers, whether that's, you know, getting blocks, steals, into passing lanes, all of that, and getting out in transition, I think they'll have a really good chance of winning this game. But I think it really is just going to start on defense for them. Just because, I mean, Germany has had some offensive struggles the last couple games. Like I said, Dennis Schroeder was 4 out of 26 in their last game. So not to say that this is a team that's going to go out there and score 110 points or anything like that. But I just think, you know, locking in defensively, forcing turnovers, getting out and running on the other end and trying to make it – not to say that you're just going to blow them out of the water, but try to build, you know, a 10, 15-point lead in the first half rather than, you know, wait until the second half to kind of come back. Because I feel like that's just what they've been doing the whole tournament. And, you know, it's worked for them, and it's also not worked for them a couple times. But I just think if they lock in and come out with that same energy they've been having in the second half, I think they have the most talented team in the tournament. So they should be able to win this game and go on to the gold medal game. But it's one of those things. You just saw Lithuania, who's already knocked out of the tournament now, was able to beat Team USA with less NBA talent. So not to say that it's out of the question, but if they lock in, come out with the same energy that they usually have in that second half, I think there's no doubt that they should definitely go on to the gold medal game at least.
I agree. I think the start is the key. I just think, again, especially with Germany, which would be interesting because, like you said, it's a rematch of the game because they were down in that Germany game, like for most of it, and they came back in that second half. And again, that was the game that Jaren played well in, too. Like, defensively, he was a monster in that fourth quarter, and Ant was really carrying him offensively. Like, it was basically a show between those two, and I think it was Reeves. Like, those were really the main three guys in that game. Oh, and Haliburton. Those main four guys were really going off in that game. So, I think I expect the same. But again, like you said, with Dennis Schroeder on Germany, I think he'll probably play better. Like, that's probably his mindset. Like, I went 4-26. Like, it can only be up from here. This most basketball players, like, it can't get any worse than this. So I just think he's going to probably play a little bit more free. So they're going to have to key in on that, especially defensively, because, again, I think their rim protection is fine, but their perimeter defense or their point of attack defense can be very inconsistent at times because of their guard play, because of who's guarding, obviously, Tyrese and Brunson. Those guys are not only – I'm going to say Tyrese is a smaller player, but, again, not a really defender, you know what I mean? So – I think that's the type of thing they got to really key in on because, like you said, they got to, you know, get stops to get out in transition, which is what they're best at. And again, just I think this is, again, like I think with Kerr, man, I think it's just about making adjustments. Kerr, you know, obviously his system has worked for him, but I think he's got to play the two bigs more. He has to go to two bigs more. So, you know, I think if he sees early that they're getting beat on the glass, I mean, I think he's got to make the adjustment of trying to put, like, even if I know he plays Paolo at the small ball five, but if he got to make an adjustment where he's playing Jaren and Paolo together, I think he needs to try to do that because, again, Germany is kind of a that team that was giving him problems on the boards and second chance points. So I just think that he, you know, that's an adjustment that needs to be made. And maybe the other adjustment, obviously, I think it's with that Haliburton and Brunson minutes. Not to say Brunson's been playing bad, but obviously Halliburton's been playing so well to the point where it's kind of like you kind of need to maybe get him a little bit more minutes, especially if he can play with that starting unit a little bit more. Not saying he's got to start, but just, you know, knowing when to make the rotations, I think, could be better. But, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. I think they'll be coming, you know, they'll be locked in because I felt like they were locked in last game. Even though they got out to a slow start, it wasn't really a slow start. It was like maybe the first 5 minutes, but once those first 5 minutes settled, like they were locked in, like they got a rhythm and they were fine. So, yeah, no, these games would be interesting because again, like with Canada, they're a good team too. Obviously, they got a lot of NBA talent. They probably, if we're talking about talent, they probably got the second most talented roster, and that's not even mentioning that they got they're not having. I think Wiggins is not playing and Jamal Murray's not playing for them. Just like we don't got no got some people playing, but just for them, they got, you know, you got RJ, you know, you got Nikhil Walker Alexander, you got Shea, you got Dylan. Like they got a lot of talent. So, you know, I would expect to see if I had a prediction, I expect to see them and us in the championship game. But again, you know, that's why you got to play the games because it is like single, it's like NCAA tournament style. Like we just saw it, like you said, like Lithuania had their best day against us and they beat us. Luckily, we just weren't in that tournament by then. You know what I mean? So, you know, if they could be locked in, but if they have their worst day, they can get got. So they just got to make sure that they value every possession and things of that nature and come in with a good mindset. Because, again, if you play your worst day, you will be going home soon. You will be coming back home soon. So hopefully they get locked in and stay locked in. And, yeah, just keep the focus. Because, again, I mean, they're two games away. That's just two more games. They just got to play great basketball for two more games, and they get a gold medal. So I'm hoping that they play well. Hoping that they play well.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, I like that, too. Just, you know, two more games. If they can win these last two games, get the gold medal. It's going to be really fun to watch. I would say, I don't know. I don't want to sleep on Serbia, you know, just because my guy Marco on Twitter, I know y'all know Marco, a big Grizz fan, would come after me if I slept on Serbia. So I'm not going to say that it's definitely going to be Canada, but I think that's the matchup a lot of people probably would be looking at. But I think regardless of who gets there, it's going to be a good gold medal game. And I think Team USA is going to have a good chance to make it all the way and beat whoever they play in the gold medal game. But, I mean, like you said, you got to play the game, stuff like that. I did like that you mentioned the two big lineup with Jaren and Paolo. because I've also been somebody who's really been big on that. I think that's something that they could try. I know that the coaching staff probably doesn't want to go with two bigs just because that's what not what Steve Kerr has been used to doing. Just overall, he's never really had two bigs like that. But I do think there's a way that it can work just because if it's Paolo and Jaren, it's two bigs that are able to stretch the floor. Paolo, even though he is, you know, 6'10", doesn't really play like a traditional big man and can get out and run in the break and can handle the ball and can do a lot of different stuff. So I think if you're playing those two, it might help a little bit. But then the other thing is, you know, it's not like Paolo is somebody who goes out and averages, you know, 10 rebounds a night or anything either. So how much exactly would that help them, you know, would still be to be seen. But I think it's something that they could try. And I'm honestly surprised they haven't tried it, even if it was like in the third quarter, one of those exhibition games yet. But yeah, that's kind of the end on the FIBA talk, because we do got to get to our last segment, which is Ja's offseason work. I know last week we talked about it. It seems like they've been teasing a little bit of the stuff that Ja's been working on, but the full video has officially dropped. And before we really get into talking about it, I did want to share it with everybody if y'all haven't seen it. So this was on Ja Morant's YouTube, along with on Shot by Nas Instagram. Be sure to follow him. Really awesome in terms of making content, following Ja, following the team, and everything like that.
Gratitude is about acknowledging and appreciating the good things in our lives, even when things are difficult. It helps us to focus on what is positive and to cultivate a more optimistic outlook on life. When we practice gratitude, we build resilience and find it easier to navigate through challenges and difficulties. In addition to improving our own well-being, gratitude also has a positive impact on those around us. When we express gratitude to others, we strengthen our relationships and build a more supportive community.
He'll pull from deep.
So, yeah, so there was, you know, I like the video. I like the theme of the video, too. Gratitude, that's a good word to use. I know that he's been, I feel like Nas been also dropping a lot of these kind of, you know, kind of words and stuff like that that Josh should really be looking at this time. And I think gratitude is a big thing. So I think that's important. I like kind of the theme of the video. And then when it comes to, like, the actual basketball work isn't really what, it sounds crazy because you would think that the basketball work is what I would be looking at more than anything. But I think the thing that's actually going to be most important is going to be the stuff from him in the weight room. You know, saw a lot of him. I feel like he looks just physically stronger than he did at the end of last season. So you can tell he's really been locked in on that. And when it comes to, you know, being in the weight room more, that means, you know, he's going to be able to jump higher, run faster, all of that, which we saw that last year, too. I felt like he took another step in that way. But it's also going to be a function of him staying on the court, especially when he gets to the playoffs. I know this year it was more like a freak injury, but I just feel like the more that you're in the weight room, the more that you're keeping your body ready, it's less likely that you can have those little, you know, knee tweaks and stuff like he had 2 years ago in the Golden State series, stuff that'll keep you out for maybe only a couple weeks. But if it hits at the wrong time, it could just really derail your season. So I really feel like that's one of the reasons I'm really excited to see, like, kind of the weight room stuff. But, yeah, the jumper looks good. You know, I saw a couple of mid-range jumpers as well in terms of, like, the basketball work. Our guy David Roddy did get crossed pretty badly in one of those clips, which is not the first. It's probably not the first time it's happened to him. I really wish that we could see some of the clips from practice, because the way that they talk about it in practice is crazier than the games. But, yeah, you know, got a little bit of ankles there. But shout out David Roddy for working out with Ja and everything. And I'm glad that he's working out with the team like we talked about last week as well. But yeah, I just thought the video was cool. I figure a lot of people are going to be talking about it. But I'm just excited to see him back in the court after suspension and everything like that. But it's just good to see that it seems like he's locked back in on what he needs to be locked in on going into the season.
Yeah, the funny part about this whole video thing is that we talked about it last week, saying like it's probably going to come sooner or later, like the video's on his way. And I feel like there's more coming in terms of the video. Like, I feel like it might be a longer video coming, but like we said it, like they were previewing it, how they were setting it up. So, yeah, I mean, it was funny how we got it like yesterday, but I mean, with Ja, I mean, it's just funny because you could tell when, at least I could tell when somebody locked in, when somebody really got no haircut, you could tell this man ain't been in no barbershop in like a minute. Like, he's been locked in, like just in the gym strictly, like. So, which is the funniest thing, like he's just, you can tell that he's focused, right? And it's just, again, like you said, working out with Roddy and them, I think is a good thing. Obviously, they didn't have to put that Roddy clip in there. I mean, but hey, it happens. It happens. You know, again, if Roddy, if anybody, Roddy probably feeling like if, you know, it's Ja, like it's going to happen. Like, I'd rather happen from Ja than like somebody else. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it was cool to see it, like how they set it up and stuff like that with the quote. I really do like how they had the commentary in the background of it. And just, you know, obviously seeing that, you know, he was talking to, you know, he's obviously saw some other people that were like fans of him while he was on the trip. And then obviously being in the gym, showing little clips of the workout. I mean, he's working on the same stuff that we've seen him kind of work on. You know, again, like you said, being in the weight room is a big thing. I mean, you know, just to keep him from not being injured. I think folks forget last year, like, his injuries, at least in the regular season, it wasn't really injuries. It was just stuff related to him that, you know, that he could, we talked about it before, but like a lot of it wasn't really, oh, he tweaked the hand or he tweaked the knee, or he maybe had like a couple of those injuries. I think it was like a groin or thigh injury, like maybe early December.
I felt like it was more, he had a couple of like load management days early in the season more than anything. And it might have been like maybe one or two games where he would miss. I think he like sprained an ankle, stuff like that. But that stuff is just going to happen over the course of an 82-game season. But, yeah, he avoided – like the biggest thing he missed time for was the suspension, which is hopefully is going to be the same to say this year. You know, the most time he's going to miss is going to be the suspension. But,
yeah,
that's basically what it was last year more than injuries. And I think that's part of the reason – because, I mean, he talked about it last year. He was in the weight room a lot, especially after the Golden State series. So it's, I think it's just taking that to just a whole nother level this year too.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's the, yeah, it just hopefully just that being it, like hopefully that we don't see, now I'm not saying he's going to play all 82. I don't expect NBA players to play all 82 anymore, but at least 70. Well, I mean, obviously not this year, but I'm talking about at least after this year, playing 70 games, stuff like that. Not only for him, but Jaren and Bane as well, but just for him specifically because of how he plays, which I think that's, why I think, you know, it's cool to see the jump shots and stuff and the floaters and stuff. Because a lot of Ja's game, for me, in terms of getting better, it's just about being smarter. Like, I mean, skill-wise, he can improve. I think, you know, his jumper can improve. And, you know, getting into his jumper, like, off the dribble, like, a lot more smoother can improve. Like, his shot prep in terms of hitting somebody with a combo and then getting to the jump shot can improve. But, I mean, you know, that comes with time with reps, which, again, that's what he's doing. Just, you know, again – I just think for him, it's about being smarter in terms of how he plays more so than him improving his skill. Cause he's kind of, it's kind of at the point, like, you know, I'm not going to say he can't improve, but obviously, but like a lot of those players or superstar players, a lot of the improvements come from the IQ thing more so than their game, because their numbers are going to be what they're be. Like Ja's going to be at 25 to 27 points per game score with like six rebounds, you know, 5 to 6 rebounds, like 8 assists, 9 assists tonight. Like, best thing he can prove is 3-point shot. But again, like you said, like I've said, just about being smarter and getting back to what we've seen him do more consistently, you know, in terms of making the right reads and making the right shots. And, you know, like we said, fourth quarter job, like making those type of improvements, I think is the big thing. But just him staying in the gym, especially now, is key and huge because, you know, he's not going to be able to play the first 25 games. So it's critical that he stays in shape and, you know, is ready. Because again, I do believe that the team will be rolling when he comes back. Not saying they're going to be like 22 and like 2, but they're going to be above 500. They're going to have a rhythm. I wouldn't be surprised if they're on a winning streak or anything. Like, they're going to be doing something well. And so, you know, he needs to be able to come back and just hit the ground running. There shouldn't be, I mean, there will be an adjustment period. No, don't get me wrong. It's always an adjustment period, especially early in the season. But you want to limit that as much as possible. You want to make it seem like they just didn't miss a beat when he comes back in the lineup. So it is encouraging to see Ja back in the gym. Hopefully he's good mentally, obviously, with all the stuff that's been going on. I mean, he's staying out the way, which I think is the best thing for him. Yeah, you know, we'll see Ja whenever we see Ja. I mean, hopefully, you know, I'm talking about like plan wise, it'd be a minute, but you know, hopefully Nye continues to release more content about it. If not, hey, it is what it is. But it's good to know that he's working. Even if we don't see it, like you said, it's like they said, it's in the dark. Even if it's in the dark, we good. Like, we know he's working. We don't have to worry about it. So I think that's a good sign. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I'll agree with that. I mean, just to know, that's really all it is when it comes to these workout videos. Just because somebody makes 4 or 5 3-pointers in a workout video doesn't necessarily mean they're going to shoot 40% from 3 next year. You know what I mean? This is just, it's just good to know, you know, they're working on their craft and everything like that, still getting better and getting ready for the season. Because, I mean, the season is right around the corner at this point. I feel like once the NFL season starts, that's how you really know that it's almost time for the NBA to start too. Just because, I think preseason starts in about a month from the time this is dropping. First Grizzlies preseason game is going to be on October 8th and everything like that.
Yeah,
so it's about a month until the season. So yeah, we're going to keep giving y'all as much content as we can over this period. Definitely going to be back next week giving the recap of the rest of the FIBA World Cup and kind of just looking ahead to the season in general. A lot of player rankings and stuff like that coming out that we might get into. So those are always interesting. But as always, I appreciate everybody who listened to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. And for my co-host, Alex Winton, I'm Bryson Wright. We will see y'all in the next episode.